This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here tonight. And even though it's an open show tonight, we're going to actually have guests with us. So what do you think there, Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto?
I think it's great. We're going to have an exciting night. We got two guys here with a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there are a lot of great things to talk about. First quarter of the show, we're going to be talking with Ralph Serpy from Baltimore Community Foundation, and he's going to be talking about helping Baltimore. And first question I have for you, Ralph, is Serpy Italian?
Serpy is Italian, yes.
All right.
There we go. Our next guest is not, so we won't acknowledge that later in the show. But anyway, Ralph, the thing that we wanted to have you on is over the years, I wasn't born in Baltimore, but I was raised here since I was 3 years old. I'm now 58, believe it or not. And I, you know, most people see me, they don't think I'm anywhere over 35 or so, right, Chris?
And, that's correct.
But I've been here 55 years now, and in that 55 years, I saw amazing things happen, especially the work that William Donald Schaefer was alive, and if he saw what happened in the last few months, he would have been heartbroken. And I think a lot of people around the world have been heartbroken as to what they saw happen, and Ralph's Baltimore Community Foundation has taken the lead in revitalizing cities. Tell us a little bit what you're experiencing, Ralph, and what you're doing to help revitalize the city after the unrest.
Well, thank you, Drew, and thank you for having me here. So, the Baltimore Community Foundation is the community foundation for Baltimore City and Baltimore County, and we work really hard to provide opportunities for everyone to thrive in Baltimore City and Baltimore County. And we created the Fund for Rebuilding Baltimore on the morning after April 27th, when the violence and looting around Baltimore created scenes where people both in Baltimore, across Maryland, and across the country, people wanted to reach out and do something for Baltimore, something positive for Baltimore. And I think the big difference that happened here in Baltimore is that the next day and the days that followed, the people of Baltimore came out and cleaned up the city. They had an immediate response to clean up what happened. And the Community Foundation created the Fund for Rebuilding Baltimore in response for two reasons. To do two things. One is to provide an immediate response to clean up Baltimore and to help businesses reopen and get back online and employ people who were hurt by the closing, by the curfew, by the businesses that were shut down, that were affected. And the second longer-term response is really to get at the to use those funds to get at the root at what really caused the rioting and the uprising for that on that day and during that week.
So you were saying that people came out to clean up. I mean, I find that hard to believe. So, but we have Chris Pratt here, and you know, Chris is going to talk second part of the show. But why don't you tell us a little personal story as to how people actually really did this?
Well, thank you so much, Drew. My father owns a mom-and-pop hardware store in Roland Park named Schneider's Hardware. And the next day, he sold out of all of his bags, all of the brooms, all of the cleaning supplies, sold out completely. Every single person in the neighborhood supported around, bought out the products, and went downtown and cleaned up what had happened the
literally
day before.
Gone down. They were going downtown, Ralph, and literally sweeping and bagging things. You're kidding.
Yeah, not kidding at all, and those are the folks that were able to make it to Baltimore, and it's not just the folks from Baltimore City. People came in from the county. People came from out of town to do that. People love this place. It's a special place, and when we created the Fund for Rebuilding Baltimore, and you can find information about the Fund for Rebuilding Baltimore at bcf.org at the Baltimore Community Foundation's website, we got response from people from across Maryland, across the country and from around the world. We've had over really close to 500 contributions from around the country, and we've had thousands of people contact us who want to help Baltimore, who really want to stand shoulder to shoulder with the people of Baltimore to find ways to help this really special place, this quirky, special place, to get things done, to respond to what happened in a way that'll make Baltimore better. You know, The Economist wrote an article that said what happened in Baltimore set Baltimore back 10 years. And we really disagree with that. What we think is that what happened in Baltimore will push us forward 10 years, where we're going to deal with issues and make this place better and have people come together and make this place a really wonderful place to live in, to work in, and to really be positive.
You know, this is a funny, you used a funny phrase, quirky. Baltimore is a kind of a big city, small town, all at the same time. There's something unusual. You know, like when Baltimore, when you say, Ralph, what school did you go to? You know, I think of Towson University.
Oh, we
I
love
think
Towson
of,
University.
I think of Harvard. I think of, when you say to somebody, what school did you go to? I think of, I went to Duke. I went to University of Maryland. I went to Towson. But in Baltimore, when you say, what school did you go to? You mean, did you go to Loyola High School or Calvert Hall or Boys Latin or Gilman or whatever?
Sure.
You
they don't want to know if you went to Upper Black Eddy in Bucks County. They want to know what high school you went to in
They
want to
know what high school you went to in Baltimore. It is just a fascinating city. It has so much charm. That's why they call it Charm City. It's not a mistake to call it Charm City. It is a charming city.
It is. And that emotion, you know, not only did people open up their wallets to give to this fund, but people are doing creative fundraisers, everything from events. They're creating T-shirts, comedy shows, concerts, small, large, everywhere. And again, not just in Baltimore, but transplanted Baltimoreans around the country. We have folks in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Idaho that have just contacted us and said, I'm from Baltimore. I went to school in Baltimore. A piece of me is still in Baltimore, and I want to give back to Baltimore. And I really want the people of Baltimore to hear that. That these messages are coming to us from young people, from old people. They're really standing with us. They want us to rebuild. They want us to be better. And they want us to do something positive. And that's the message that you don't hear from folks around the country. You don't see
that
looping. Or The Economist. You don't see that looping through on national media a lot. They just want to show something sensational.
So, Ralph, tell us again. Well, how do people help to contribute? How do they join in? How do they volunteer? What's the easiest way to remember to get in touch with you guys to give $5 or $50 or $5,000 or to get together and join a volunteer program?
Contact us at the Baltimore Community Foundation at bcf.org. Very simple.
B is in boy, C is in Charlie, F is in Frank, BCF, Baltimore Community Foundation.
B is in Baltimore, C is in community, F is in foundation.org. Easy.
Right. Very easy. BCF.org is the best way to get in touch with you guys and contribute money. Ralph, I appreciate all the work you're doing and your foundation has done for this city, and we thank you for your time of being with us.
Great, Drew. Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Right now, we have to go to traffic, and what's his name?
Nick Rehak.
Mark Thibodeau. God. We're going, that's weather, I thought. Whatever, we're going somewhere. Somebody's going to talk. Take it away.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we really appreciate Ralph Serpy being with us from the Baltimore Community Foundation and the work that they're doing. Again, if you want to be a part of that and you want to join a volunteer program or you want to send money, be it $5 or $500, it doesn't matter. BCF.org, BCF, Baltimore Community Foundation.org, BCF.org. And now this part of the show, we have a different way that we're going in a different direction, totally different, same kind of charitable volunteer type activity, but actually these people are going to get paid to do this, I think, right? Yes, there's a shaking on the other end of the, you know. But it's still a charitable kind of concept because you're not going to make an overwhelming amount of money. It's just for a great cause and an adventure all at the same time. But before we talk about that, I just want to talk about the person that came to talk to us about this. And the reason I want to talk to him is I just want to do a little bit about, you know, being an employer. Mm-hmm. You know, when mm-hmm. you're an employer, so many employers look at their employees as people to make money for the employer. You're here to work for me. That's what I pay you for. And that's the attitude of most employers. Mm-hmm. Our attitude is very different at the consulate. Our attitude is, yes, we've hired you. Yes, we're paying you. Yes, we expect you to work hard for us. But I also have a responsibility to you, to steward you, mm-hmm. to be the best that you can be, whether it's with me or not.
Right.
And that's what we did with this young man. We saw the potential that what he had, and we said, you know, watching you, we're not sure that this is where you really have the passion for. We want you to find your passion. We want to help you find your passion. And he, you know, took a sabbatical. He's found his passion. And the difference of the man that left us 5 years ago to mm-hmm. find his passion and who he is today is amazing. And I'm just so proud of who he's becoming. I just am delighted to be able to bring him back to talk about this initiative that he's a part of and the position that he now has in another country. And matter of fact, he was telling us that he was in this international country, a third world country as we would classify it. He was seeing articles about this unrest in Baltimore.
Right,
so
right.
It did get, you know, as we were talking about with Ralph. But let's talk about who we have with us today and what he's doing. So give us a little background on our guest there, Tommaso.
Yeah, I sure
he's not Italian either. So
yeah,
let's get that off the table. But we can make him Italian for a day.
We could, for a day. Cristoforo. But we've got Chris Pratt with us, and it's exciting because, as Drew, as you said, I mean, you've done a lot, and you won't promote yourself, but, you know, you've done a lot at the firm to grow people and to steward, as you said, steward people. And Chris has been a great example and a great model for that, for us to, you know, have as we bring other folks into the firm. And I know, Chris, you could probably speak mm-hmm. to that, too. And, you know, we often say, yeah, well, Chris went to Columbia, and people are like, oh, he's down in Columbia. You know, they just think he's down the road, you know, Columbia, Maryland. And he's not in Columbia, Maryland. He's in the country of Columbia. And so it's kind of funny when we talk about Chris, and he still does some things for us. He's got a CFP, and he keeps that up, I think.
Right? I do. Still have my CFP.
Yeah, so he's a professional, a certified financial planner, and he did that while he was with us. But like you said, his heart was to do something else, and he was led down to Columbia. So now he's working for Heart for Change, and it's a Columbia volunteer program, but as you mentioned, they get paid. And Chris is going to give us a lot more detail on that. This organization was founded by a group of philanthropic Colombians in 2010. And so while Chris has been down there for the last 3 years and doing English as a second language and some other fun things, and I say fun in an interesting, you know, different kind of way, you know, it has more than 4 years of experience down there with hosting fellows. So folks come over and they're considered fellows and interns, and they helped with, you know, helping training and logistical coordination, following up. So it's not just a short term come down for like a missions trip. It's really a long-term process, I guess. Yeah.
So, Chris, Colombia had the lowest English-speaking rate of any country in South America, and that's what you've been retained by, actually, I believe it was the president or some close to him that appointed you to this.
Yes, we looked at statistics back from, I think, 2012, and it was one of the lowest English-speaking countries in all of Latin America. And the government, President Santos, decided that education was going to be a huge push, and he really wanted to focus on English education.
And to explain why that's so important, that there's statistics about this, that when kids learn how to speak English, it makes a huge difference in their life.
Yes, that's true. Right now, English is the international language of the world. It might be Mandarin in a couple of years, but right now it's English. And what you see is they can get so much more job opportunities speaking English. You can immediately have a job in a call center. So someone can call in from all over the world, and they're calling into Colombia, where a Colombian can speak in a call center, or it could be at a hotel. It could also be in a multinational. They could have an opportunity to go to the United States, to England, to a university, and then get a job or an internship.
So English is an important language to anybody and anywhere in the world, and they realized this, and the president realized that their country, his country, was undereducated in English, and that's one of his major pushes, and that's where you come in.
That's correct. So the president and the Ministry of Education in Colombia decided that they wanted to make Colombia a bilingual country by 2020. And by 2025, they wanted to make it the most educated, all-around educated country in all of Latin America. There's huge investments right now. There's two major investments. There's actually three. One is peace, because as you know, Colombia is still finalizing some problems with the FARC, but it's a much safer country in the moment. But next up is education, and they're trying to make it the most educated country in 2025 and a bilingual country, completely bilingual country by 2020.
Wow. And so here you come to the United States, and why are you in the United States now? Why aren't you down in Colombia teaching people English?
Well, I was hired as the director of the program, so I helped put together the program through the foundation Heart for Change. And what the
Pablo Español, Chris?
Sí, claro que sí, claro que sí. But
you see, I do too.
You do. You speak very well. Tom, how long did he practice that one in the office earlier today?
All day.
But go ahead.
Of course, of course. So what the Ministry of Education decided to do is they wanted to bring native English speakers from all over the world as long as they have a certified level of English. So we have the majority from the United States, UK, Australia. They're coming and teaching. They're co-teaching with Colombian teachers in the public school system. The public schools are primarily lower-income Colombians. Now they have the opportunity to be taught English through commutative speaking with people from the United States. They come and they teach 25 hours per week for either a 5-month or a 10-month term. It could be the entire year.
So what do you get? Do I get $1,000? Do I get $500? Do I get the adventure? What do I get to come down there for 5 months or 10 months or whatever?
Every single month, you get 1,500,000 Colombian pesos.
All right.
Now
I'll
we're
become
talking.
A millionaire.
There you go.
Just in 1 month.
Just in 1 month, I become a millionaire.
That's correct. However, with the exchange rate, it's between $600 and $700 a month. Now you ask me, is that a lot of money? It's a lot of money down there. It's actually higher than the average teacher salary in Colombia in the public school system.
How do I live? Where do I live? Do they give me room and board, or do I have to pay my $600-$700 to get room and board?
The program will bring new teachers for a 2-week training where the first week we give them a visa, we give them their ID card, we give them 48 hours of teacher training so they can learn how to teach. Then we send them to their placement city where they'll be teaching, and we provide them with 1 month of an apartment. And they get their full living stipend. The following month, we're going to help them find a place. But in that second month, they're going to have to provide it out of their money, out
okay.
of their salary.
Well, right now, we have to take a quick pause, and then we're going to come back. You're going to tell us a lot more as to how we're going to participate in this if we're interested. Or, you know, because there are listeners out there. They have children. Mm-hmm. They may themselves. And you can tell us what the age requirements are, what the qualifications are, and so forth. But right now, Anita is going to take us to Nick Rehack in traffic, and he's going to tell us what's going on out there. Take it away, Nick.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There's Anita with that Teach English music on there for us.
Eye of the Tiger.
You know, Eye of the Tiger. Is that what that is?
Yeah. Rocking.
Yeah.
I knew that, I'm sure. And I even know the group if you tell me who it is.
Tom?
You can repeat it. I have no idea.
So who is it, Chris?
Oh, I just know the name of the song.
Who's the
Come
group
on, Anita,
there,
help
Anita?
Us out here.
Eye of the Tiger. She doesn't know.
She had a look at
Towson it. University.
Yeah, there you
Towson
go.
Towson University you go. Did that song, you know?
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, we've got Chris Pratt here with us, and Chris used to work with the consulate, and mm-hmm. We helped him find his real passion in life. One of his, your passion was really travel. You really enjoyed exploring the world. You went mm-hmm. to the Philippines since I've known you. You went to Madagascar on a research expedition, a diving research expedition. And then you ended up in Colombia, if I remember correctly. No, you went to Nicaragua for a while, too, right?
That's true. I traveled all of Central America.
Guatemala and mm-hmm. so forth. I don't remember. How'd you end up in Colombia?
Well, I started out by going to Central America.
Right.
I traveled all through Central America. I worked a little bit in some volunteer activities. And everyone told me to go to Colombia. They said it was a beautiful country with a lot of diversity, happy people, really friendly people. And I just had to go. And when I went, I planned on going for about 3 months, and now it's 3 years and counting. So,
huh. So here you are. You're in Colombia, and you start to enjoy the country, and mm-hmm. you started to, if I remember correctly, you were teaching English yourself.
That's
in,
correct.
In a girls' academy. Now, if they knew you like I knew you, I wouldn't have hired you for that, but
oh,
that's okay.
You.
But you were a much more mature young man now at this time.
I thank you. I sure was. During my interview, the nun, because it was a Catholic school, she said, "The only thing I'm concerned about is all the girls falling in love with you." And I said, "Don't worry, because I like women, not girls." And I got the job.
Anyway, well, that was good. And you did a great job, from what I understand. And that led to Grameen Bank, which is Mohammed Youssef, who led the charge years ago in microfinance. Why don't you spend a little bit of time on that, and we'll come back to this.
Okay. Yeah, so Professor Mohammed Yunus, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006, he created microfinance, but he also created social business. And the idea of a social business is that the objective, all of the dividends that are made, all of the profits that are made, go to the social objective. So you can have fair salaries. You can have the same salary as a large company. However, you cannot have dividends for the shareholders. So if the financial consulate would like to invest in my social business, you can invest $1 million. I can pay you back the $1 million after 5 years, but I cannot pay you 1 cent of dividend. All of those dividends have to go back to the social objective. So my social objective was to teach English education to Colombians from poor neighborhoods, poor economic backgrounds. We were reaching 125 students. So we were bringing people from the United States, volunteers who would teach English, and we had 125 students. Now with the Colombian Ministry of Education, we're reaching 80,000 students. So there's been a really large change.
Wow. So how did you get chosen by Heart for Change? That's Heart for Change, all words, for, F-O-R, mm-hmm. change, Heart for Change. How did you get chosen by them to be the director?
Well, last year they started working with a vocational public university. So much like a community college where someone would learn how to be a welder, an electrician, maybe working at a hotel, they started teaching English in those schools, and there was a job offer. And I found it. I had the interview process, and I got selected. So I was running that program, and then we started working with the Colombian Ministry of Education, where they wanted to do the same program with native English teachers who would be teaching in the public schools across Colombia.
So, and you were chosen, and also just
yes.
wanted to tell you that Eye of the Tiger is by a group called Survivor. One of our listeners called in and told us that. I have no idea who Survivor is.
I thought it was some silly
television show that I never watched. But it turns out that they're a group that sang Eye of the Tiger while they're out there in the jungle surviving.
And there was Survivor in Colombia some time ago. So.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So now you're in the United States. You've been sent here by the organization Heart for Change. You met with universities in New York. You're meeting with universities in Maryland. And you're meeting with universities in Washington, D.C. over the next – well, you already did New York. And
yes.
now you're in D.C. tomorrow and then Maryland the next couple days, or Baltimore area. And what is your purpose of meeting with these universities?
Don't forget Philadelphia, Miami. I'm also going to be visiting there.
I would go to Miami. That's where your uncle lives. He'll take you deep sea fishing.
Yeah, well,
maybe.
I'm going to be working. So.
All right.
Anyway, the idea is right now on June 21st, we're going to be bringing 200 new teachers. There are 200 new opportunities. We've already selected a few people, but we still have openings across 26 different cities and small towns in Columbia, over 160 different public schools throughout the country. This program will bring a teacher where they will be teaching for 25 hours per week in the public school system with students from 9th to 11th grade or 14 to 17 years of age. They'll be teaching every single week, like a regular job, 25 hours of classes teaching English education across one of the 26 cities.
And all these cities are safe.
That's correct. We went ahead and we selected that we had a list of 50 different cities, and we narrowed it down to the cities that we thought were the safest, we thought were the most secure, and we thought were cities where people would really enjoy living.
Like one of the cities, I bet you know, which has a reputation of being dangerous, is Medellin.
Medellin.
I said it okay, Chris. You didn't have to correct me. Medellin.
I was just reiterating the city you said. You said it perfectly.
Yeah, Medellin.
Yeah. Medellin, you know,
Is it a city that you chose?
Oh, it's a great city. We have the largest number. And actually, 2 years ago, it won the most technological city in the world.
Huh.
2 years
You're
ago.
You're kidding.
No. No.
And it's beautiful from what I hear.
It's an amazing city. It's an amazing city. The problem is I guess about 25 years ago, there were some problems in Medellin. There was a lot of drug trafficking. There was a lot of problems there. However, over the last 18, 15 years, it's really cleaned up. And over the last 10 years, I think it's been a very safe country everywhere from Medellin all the way to Pasto, to Cartagena, Bogota.
So if you're out there listening as a or a parent, or even if you're one of the young people that you're looking to have come, they have to have a 4-year education, right? 4-year college degree.
That's correct. Basically, we want professionals. We want people that have graduated from a 4-year university.
They don't have to have a teaching credential, though, right? You're going to teach them that.
We will. In the first week, we're going to give them 48 hours of training, so they can learn how to teach English in a foreign country. After that, we're going to have support 24/7. So if they ever have questions, we're going to support them with their pedagogy questions.
Do they need to speak Spanish?
No, they do not. We also have regional coordinators. We have bilingual coordinators who are taking care of about 15 teachers.
So these people can come. All they have to do is know English. But they have to be able to speak English relatively well, right?
Well, we will interview them, so they have to pass through the interviewing process. But if they graduated from a 4-year university and they meet all the requirements, pretty much, a lot of them, it depends a lot on personality as well. We're looking for people that are flexible, that are open-minded, that can come into a new culture and kind of understand that it's going to be different than the culture here in the United States.
Kind of like yourself, Chris.
Just like me.
Chris, we're going to take a last pause, and we're going to come back, and you're going to tell people how to get in touch with you and how to be a part of this great effort that you're developing in Columbia.
Okay.
But right now, we're not going to come back to Eye of the Tiger, though. We're going to come back to Mark Thibodeau and weather. Take it away, Mark.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, with that stimulating music again from Anita. She's, what is that? She says, I don't know.
Cool
in the gang, but what's the name of it? Fresh. This is very fresh.
We're fresh.
We're feeling fresh right now, Anita. I guess at most shows we feel fresh, don't we?
A little Colombian coffee,
Anyway, we're here with Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is here, and he's with Heart for Change, and he is the director of this program in the country of Colombia, South America, to help over 80,000 students learn English. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
80,000. 1,000 Colombians to learn English and help them revitalize the economics of the country. And they know that this is an important step. And Chris is here to ask or try to get people to join the education process. You need, what, 200 more teachers or about 100 more teachers?
We currently have 150 in the country, and that is they're teaching 80,000 students, but we need another 200 who are going to arrive on June 21st. We're looking for about another 50 right now.
So another 50, and if somebody out there listening or their child, they feel that this, they have to have a four-year degree,
that's
right?
Correct.
And but it doesn't matter if they speak Spanish or not, but if you want to learn another language, and Americans make this mistake, they don't learn another language.
Right.
They only know English. And it's
or other cultures.
Or other cultures, yeah. That's a big problem, and you know, because the world is becoming international. So for an American to learn Spanish and another culture all at the same time and do something great for the country of Colombia, it's, I mean, it's a win-win, because once you learn those two, you know, I bet you, Chris, if you wanted to come back to America and get a job, a fairly good job, with your training now, with your expertise from and your ability to speak Spanish almost as good as I do, you would be a valuable asset to any company.
I completely agree. And the way to learn another language is to be immersed in that country, immersed in the language and immersed in the culture. And by coming to Colombia, by coming to teach English, you will be immersed in Spanish. You will be immersed in the Colombian culture. And like you said, I started off as an English teacher.
Yeah.
And now I'm the director of the largest bilingual program in the history of Colombia. And I'm in charge of all of the teachers, all the planning, all, a great group of Colombians and people from the United States. It's an amazing team.
So how do they get in touch with you if they're interested in helping you?
Well, you can apply online by going to www.heartforchange.org.
Those are three words.
Heartforchange.org. Or you can email me directly. And my email address is cpratt, P-R-A-T-T, at heartforchange.org.
So it's heartforchange.org, and your email is cpratt@heartforchange.org.
That's correct. So on our website, they can apply directly online. They can upload their resume. I almost said in Spanish, hoja de vida.
And I was going to say the same thing, Chris.
I know you were.
I decided not to.
And then we contact them right away for an interview.
That's fantastic. And, you know, again, you know, this world is becoming far more competitive. And so if you have a child and you want to give them a great economic opportunity, they've just graduated 4 years, they're not necessarily sure what they want to do, to be immersed in another culture, they're going to pay you, they're going to take care of you, they're going to oversee, they're going to teach you teaching, they're going to, you know, and you could come away learning another language. You know, it's a win-win for everybody. I can't imagine you wouldn't have 50,000 young people ask you to be a part of something like this.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. And like you said, we 100% support them. They have Colombian health insurance. They have 24/7 support for a team of 20 different employees that are 100% there for them. And we have an emergency protocol. So if anything ever were to happen, we know exactly what to do.
And
to
where
help
they're
them.
Now, where they're going to be, and now let's say they're in this city, are they going to also have the camaraderie of the other English speaking teachers in, you know, like a common, you know?
On average, they're going to be with 10 other teachers. Plus, for every single 15 to 20 teachers, we have one regional coordinator who's bilingual and will support them. In every single school, there's a mentor who's going to be a perfect English speaker, and they're going to be mentoring them in their school.
So I watched your YouTube video.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and how do they get that YouTube video?
That was paid for by the Colombian Ministry of Education.
But I mean, how can they watch it? If they go to YouTube, what should they search?
Well, I think if they just go to our website, www.heartforchange.org, it's right there, right on the front page.
So, but I saw there were like six young people living in a house. You know, they all spoke English and they were teaching in the local city, right?
That's correct. That was in the coffee region. One thing that's important to point out is in Colombia, you have the Caribbean coast, the Pacific coast, three different mountain ranges, and the Amazon. There are
and
so many cultures.
And you have the starting point of Starbucks.
Well, Juan Valdez. But yes.
Well, I mean, you know, where Starbucks gets what it gets, you know, it starts there, you know. And
just so, 1 year ago, we had our first Starbucks in Colombia.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's cool. What city?
Bogota.
Bogota.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
where
capital.
Do you live?
Bogota.
There
next,
you go.
Next to the Starbucks, oddly enough.
Do you really?
I do, right down the street.
That's amazing, Chris. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, tell everybody how they get in touch with you one more time and give us a final word.
Yeah, so it's www.heartforchange.org or directly cpratt@heartforchange.org. And I would definitely recommend anyone who's looking for a job, who's looking for a new opportunity, looking for a rewarding experience, come to Colombia. Get to know what it is to teach English in another country. Get to know the Colombian culture. Get out there. Take a risk. It's the most rewarding experience that I've ever done, and I am so happy to have done it.
And so they're going to get paid for it, and
that's
it's
right.
A 5 months or a 10-month commitment?
It could be as little as 5 months,
where
you're teaching in a public school with the government. You'd put it on your resume. I worked for the Ministry of Education in
Colombia. You would figure that a 10-month would be the best commitment.
It would be, because you would have a better understanding of your students. You'd have a better understanding of that city. You'd really get immersed. You'd really end up learning a lot of Spanish as well.
Well, Chris, we're out of time. As usual, the show runs very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for taking care of me through these years. You really are my mentor.
Well, we just are so proud of everything you've mm-hmm. done. You've done a great job. And we're excited about where you are today and the man that you're becoming. So
thank you.
We appreciate that. Heart for Change, Chris Pratt, teaching English in Colombia. And if you want to be a part of it, you want to encourage your child to get an incredible opportunity, I'd suggest you look up heartforchange.org. Tommaso?
Ciao.
Yeah. This is Drew Signanelli saying God bless.